content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in,
that's your problem.
All right, everybody, how are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. Jam-packed show again for you, and we got some great guests here. So anyway, listen, thanks again for tuning in. I'd like to thank Juan Carlos. Thank you, Juan, for always keeping us together and on track here. So that's good. You can always find us here on BBS Radio every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And a lot of other places, right?
Anchor, FM,
and iTunes.
iTunes at Spiritually Raw.
I'm going to get it.
One of these days you'll get it.
Trying to get my script down, everybody. You'll get it here. Anyway, I'll get it here one of these days. But if you're an expert or authority or have an amazing personal story that revolves around the supernatural, we definitely want to know about it. All you have to do is go to spirituallyraw.com and put in your information there, and we'll check it out, right?
Yeah, make sure to also check us and follow us on Facebook at Secrets to Radio Riches and Spiritually Raw.
That's right. And remember, you are only one show away, right? So let's talk about our guest today, yeah?
We have three guests today.
All right.
I'll quickly go over the first two.
Okay.
Bill Simpson, author, speaker, podcaster, pastor, teacher. He's been a missionary in West Africa, and he's also been a pastor of two congregations. Amina Ramazani, motivational speaker, pet psychic, and trainer. Amina is going to show us the layers of communication that all of us have, how to do and be better at not only sending out our messages, but more importantly, receiving the correct messages.
Right on.
Yeah, but first up, this one's going to be really cool, Jay. We never had a card shark before. Brian Arnold was a professionally trained card shark. Get this, he made over $4 million by the age of 24, playing the peripheral edges of the mafia when they had big games to knock off. And you know what? Unfortunately, it also made him a little depressed, or I should say a lot depressed and suicidal. He was literally seconds away from pulling the trigger, and then divine intervention stepped in. Brian has spent over 45 years of his life helping others battle depression, addiction, suicidal thoughts, and getting control of their thought life back. Brian Arnold is the author of Peace of Mind, and he's also an internal life coach. And he is the creator of Miracle Working, card-a-day mental health nutrition strategy. It cleanses your thoughts and renews your mind to a higher, better life.
That's one hell of a plug. Let's bring Brian on.
I try my best, Jay.
Hello, Brian.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. Okay, so let's get started, get the audience to know you. So how did you get introduced into this, you know, professional card shark thing?
Well, I was a young man. I left home at 16, and by the age of 19, I had gone down the wrong road and ended up drinking a lot and partying and living the fast life. And I was at a invited to a party one night, and when I got there, lo and behold, a couple of guys that were there, I had met them a couple days before, and they invited me to sit in on a game that there was a big game going on in the back room at this party at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's some party.
And they, yes, it was. Everybody else was partying out front, but there was a couple of millionaires, I guess, in the back room, and there was only like four or five players, and they wanted one more player. But the fellow said to me, he said, hey, kid. He nicknamed me the kid, and that was my nickname forever thereafter with them. But he said, hey, kid, would you like to come and sit in a game with us tonight? We're going to take all the money. We'll dump it on you because we don't want to draw the heat. And we'll dump the money on you, but just remember, and we'll give you $500 just to sit in the game. But just remember that at the end of the game, the money is ours, not yours. And that's kind of how I got introduced, and within a matter of an hour or so, I had about $40,000 sitting in front of me. that was piled up to me, and they had given me two simple little finger signals. One was to bet, and the other one was to take a card. And as long as they were dealing, they had complete control of the game. So that's how I kind of got introduced to it. And
now, were you like a nervous wreck? Or
no.
Were you cool as a cucumber?
I was drunk.
Oh God! So you had liquid courage there, right?
Yeah.
I was just sitting in the game, just doing what they told me to do with two finger signals. I was just watching their fingers
now,
as they were dealing, and that was it.
So $500 back then is a lot of cash. What did you think about that?
1969.
Yeah, it's a lot of cash.
And that's per game. That's per game, right?
And that was just the first game.
It started out. I mean, they didn't generally do this all the time, but we connected well. And so that's how it got started. And then they wanted me to come in another night, and then another night, and then another night. And then they were going to go on the road. They said, we're going up to Alaska, to the Yukon.
Wow.
And then on up to Alaska. And if you want to come with us, come with us. And I thought, sure. Why not? I mean, at $500 a night to sit in these games and all expenses paid as far as traveling around the country. And these guys lived like what I would call high on the hog.
Yeah.
They, you know, it was all 5-star resort hotels, and we ended up flying around in Lear jets, and it got more and more involved. And that's kind of how I got started.
Do you miss it?
No. I did at one time, but I took control of my life and took control of those emotions, and I don't miss it anymore, not at all, because it was back in that day, it was fun and exciting and lots of money and high energy, and everything was very it was a rush when you go in and knock off, you know, like we did one night a little over $500,000.
Wow.
And the guys that set it up got half of that, $250,000. And we got the other half and split it our three ways. And we were on the jet out and gone the next day again. So this is kind of how it got started. And
that had to be awfully intoxicating.
Well, yes. Yeah, it was intoxicating in many ways.
I'm sure.
No, but then it got you to the point where you talk about ending your life, and then all of a sudden this divine intervention, you know, by pulling a trigger on yourself. What happened there? What got you from that place of just jet setting to, okay, I got a gun to my head?
Well, what happened was I started getting involved in deeper and deeper with heavier people, and the outskirts of the mafia would call us, and they didn't call me personally, but they would call my other guy that they're all passed away now. They're dead and gone, so I can talk about it. But they ended up I started getting into where I was invited in to stick around with the heavier duty guys, and I just started to get really nervous. It wasn't where I wanted to go. That was not my original intent, was to start to hang out with the extremities of, you know, $1,000 and a plane ticket, and you can have anything done you want. I just didn't want to go down that road. And so by this time, this had been 4 years had gone by, almost into the fifth year, and I started looking in the mirror, and I didn't like what I was seeing. I didn't like the guy and the man in the glass, and I started thinking, you know, where's my life going? I got all this money. I had like $4 million on me, and I needed to try to straighten my life out. I was a mess. $1,000 worth of coke a day a lot of the times. Just, and it wasn't because it was a coke habit. It was just partying, and it was like, is this all there is now after four and a half, five years of this? And I got all this money. Like, what's life all about? I mean, is this all there is? And so I started falling into this depression. I'm 24 years old, and I thought, I got to go back to my mom and dad's farm and buy the farm. And that's the only place I knew that I could try to get my life together and try to collect myself. But because I was so lost, I did not know where I was at. I did not know who I was. So I had these major questions floating around in my mind, like, who am I? How did I get here onto planet Earth? What's my purpose in life? And is there life after death? I'm ready to kill myself, but where will I go after I die? Is there eternal life after that? And so that was the crash that I came into, and I ended up, I bought my mother and father's farm. I bought 300 head of cattle. I bought all new equipment. I bought more land. I bought 6 Arab horses.
Wow.
And I figured, I thought all this stuff will make me happy, but none of it did. It would fulfill me for a day or two or a week, and then that was it. It was empty again. So I just got to the place where I was going to end my life. And I remember I came down off the ladder off the barn, and I had just fed my horses, and there was like demons screaming at me, yeah, kill yourself, just kill yourself. You're no good for nothing anymore. You've just, gone out and just had a big party, but there's nothing left to live for. So I walked across over to the garage to get my gun. I had a gun in my garage, and it was always there, more for shooting foxes and coyotes trying to steal our chickens and chicken hawks and stuff like that. But the gun was there. I had used it for hunting and trapping before when I was a kid. And I got to the garage door. The gun is always loaded. It was sitting behind the garage door. There was only me, no children around. And I reached over to open the door to walk in, and suddenly this car pulled in the yard, and it drove right up to me, and the guy asked me where this farmer lived, and I told him where it was. I said, it's just down the road a mile, and he said, well, it can't be. I've been there looking, and I've been down there 3 times, and I said, listen, he didn't move his farm. The farm is a mile away down there, and here's where you go. And the guy said, oh, okay. So he turned around and he drove out. That was the first divine intervention, because I was only seconds away from going in and pulling the trigger. And suddenly I come to the realization that I just about killed myself. Mm. I just about went in and took the gun and shot myself right there.
That's a sick audience clapping for you wanting to kill yourself like that. No. Oh, my gosh. So when you just about killed yourself, and then what happened then? You said that was the first divine intervention. Was there another one?
Yeah. It was a tremendous intervention. And if I don't get through this all, just for the sake of time, I've written a short little story. It's only about 8 or 10 pages long of my actual, real, true divine intervention of what happened to me. But I came out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And this all happened up in – sorry?
Like, what was that within the same day, the same week, the same month, the same year?
No, it was about a week later. I was invited, my mom and dad invited me to come into town to come for, go to church, and then to go to, come over and have lunch. And so that morning when I went to go to church, I was going to go to Mass, and I was raised an altar boy, Roman Catholic, but I never went to church. I just didn't really want much to do with it. I was raised with the Indian culture and the native people. I speak the Cree language. I was raised with the Indian people. And so I was familiar with spirits and all kinds of things and spiritually, but I wasn't much for religion. I'm still not much for religion today. But I am into spiritual growth and spiritual understanding in God. And I had a very powerful spiritual experience. What happened was I was going to go to church that morning, and about 50 head of my cows got out on the road. So that put me 15 minutes late to round them up and put them back in the fence. And I took off into town, and it took me 18 minutes to get into town. I was 18 miles out of town. And I got into town, and I was 15 minutes late, that was a good excuse for me to not go into church. I saw my mom and dad's car sitting there, and I thought, I'm not going in. I mean, if I went to the confessional booth, I'd be there all day. I'd hold the whole church up. So because I knew I was a badass. And so I ended up driving down the street, and I remember it as clear as a bell. It's in my little story there. I pulled up to a stop sign, and it was right in front of the police station in this little town of about 1,800 people maybe. And here's this fellow that I used to go to school with come walking right around the corner, and we recognized each other. And he said, "Hey, Brian, how are you doing? What's going on? I haven't seen you in 8 years." And I said, "I just got back. I bought my mom and dad's farm. I'm straightening my life out." And he said, "Well, where are you going?" I said, "Well, I was going to go to church, but I was just a little bit late." He said, "Well, why don't you come into this little church right here?" He said, "We got a black preacher. This is up in Canada." He said, "We got a black preacher here from America preaching." I said, "Well, what on earth is a black preacher from America doing preaching in a little Indian town up in the middle of nowhere in Canada?" He said, "You got to come and hear this guy. He's amazing." Well, I went in, long story short, I went in, and it's the first time I had ever heard the gospel preached, that God loved me.
Aww.
And that Christ died for me.
That's right. Hey, everybody, hold that thought, Brian. We got to take a quick break. And when we get back, we want to know more about your Car Today mental health nutrition strategy. That sounds very cool there. So hang tight, everybody. A quick word from our sponsor. Internationally known eternal life coach Brian Arnold was a professionally trained card shark who made over $4 million by age 24. He also became suicidal. He was seconds away from pulling the trigger when divine intervention stepped in. He had a powerful spiritual experience and was instantly delivered from his darkness and found his purpose for living. Brian has spent over 45 years helping tens of thousands of people battling depression, addictions, and suicidal thoughts, getting control and their lives back, and turn their mess into a message of hope and inspiration. Brian Arnold created the miracle-working Car Today Mental Health Nutrition Strategy. Cleanse your thoughts and renew your mind to a higher, better life. Get a free set of 26 miracle-working cards today. Go to www.kingdomproblemsolvers.com. That's kingdomproblemsolvers.com. Warning: radical new information about the death of Jesus, told by a present-day eyewitness. So bizarre, it may be very difficult to find agreement with, but in hopes will stir your curiosity and cause you to embark upon your own journey. My Journey Beyond the Bizarre, by Apollo spacecraft engineer Edward J. Evers, tells what really happened to Jesus in his last hours here on Earth. How? Because Edward J. Evers was there in a past life. Discover statements never spoke before now, plus the workings of your conscious and subconscious minds, past lives, you as a spirit, UFOs, and so much more. Get your copy of My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Edward J. Evers at www.ejevers.com. Again, that's ejevers.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. We are with Mr. Brian Arnold. Brian, so tell us a little bit about this Car Today mental health nutrition strategy you developed.
Okay, so what happened was I had such a powerful spiritual experience when I surrendered my life, and it was a very powerful turnaround for me. I was delivered instantly from all my my drug addictions and my card rush addictions. And so I was totally delivered, but I had to now figure out, okay, how do you grow? How do you spiritually grow when you're born into this new kingdom? Because there's two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light. And to come out of the kingdom of darkness, now you come into the kingdom of light, is a whole new world. And how do you grow in that? And so I was talking with a fellow, and he said, well, first of all, you have to start to read scripture, memorize scripture, because you're a spiritual being, and the Bible, the Word of God, is not a religious book. It's a spiritual book. It's about a king, a kingdom, and a royal family, which I had become a part of. And anyone who accepts what Christ did can become a part of that. But how do you grow mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? You do that by knowing and understanding the Word of God. And so I started writing down scriptures on these little 3x5 cards. And I would, as I went to work, I had to, of course, now, you know, really straighten my life out. And I went to work. I started a carpet company, and I've had several businesses now. And so I started memorizing these scriptures on these 3x5 cards. Well, those cards were what saved my life. Aww. And I was memorizing one scripture every week. So there's 52 cards in a deck of cards, and I was familiar with cards. So there's 52 cards in a deck of cards, and there's 52 weeks in a year.
So one a week that the people would get to then, right?
Yeah. If you have, well, I was memorizing 4 and 5 a week. But the basic premise is one a week, one, and I've gotten written down, I did 4 custom decks that I custom built. And the first deck is self-discovery. If you don't discover who you are, if you can't answer the question who you are and how, what is your soul and how does your soul work? Well, your soul is your mind, emotions, and will. And how does that function and work with your spirit? Because your soul is a part of your spirit, but you are a spirit being. You have a soul, which is your mind, emotions, and will, and you live in a physical body, which I call your physical earth suit, which is your see, touch, smell, taste, and hearing. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, but you got to discover how that all works. And if you don't know how that works, you are lost. You are in trouble, and you need to know that, and that's all in these cards. And one deck, that's what I'm giving away right now to your listening audience. The first deck is personal self-discovery. If you go to that website, you can download 26 cards. Now, you're just playing with half a deck, but that's a good start.
Right. Okay. All right.
And I can provide the other half deck for you. It's on the site there. So,
give everybody your website address so they can get it.
Okay. You can go to www.kingdomproblemsolvers.com. Because the kingdom of God is within you. And if you got problems, you need to solve them starting on the inside and working outward. Most have it 100% in the opposite direction. They're all trying to fix things outwardly. If my wife would only be this way, or if that my child would be that way, or if the business would be this way, or if that would be that way, and we're looking at the outward all the time, but that's not where it's at. It's on the inward. The kingdom is within. You need to start within you, and that's what this is all about. Kingdom problem solvers. If you got a problem, you need to solve it, and the only way you can solve a problem is to change your thinking, because what you think about, you speak about, and what you speak about, you bring about.
There you
Amen
go.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
that is so. Brian Arnold, everybody. Brian, thank you very much for this revelation. Don't forget, everybody, to go to kingdomproblemsolvers.com. And I really like that, Brian. That's pretty ingenious, if you would, that the card a day.
The 52 a day.
Yeah, that's like for someone like me to be able to digest stuff easy.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that. Good job, Brian. Thanks for being on again, buddy.
Thank you.
I like Brian.
He's a great speaker.
Yeah, he is a good speaker. I was like, he should come in and take my role when I want to take a vacation.
Brian, I'll remember in. That.
Yeah, remember that. All right, remember Brian. Put him on the list, right?
I already got it down.
All right, who's next? Up next.
Amina Ramazzini. Amina Ramazzini, motivational speaker, pet psychic and trainer. Amina will show you the layers of communication that all of us have, how to do and be better at not only sending out our messages, but more importantly, receiving the correct messages back. She says, having spent a lifetime working hands-on with all types of pets, exotic animals, trained, she's worked in veterinarian care and actively involved in promoting rescue services, teaching, and besides all of her experiences with nature in all forms, she says it's humbling to get to share all of this knowledge with everyone.
Oh, that's right. Let's bring on Amina to the show.
Now, wait a second. You know what? I just realized.
What?
She lives... Wait a minute.
Don't tell everybody where she lives live on air. That's not... Are we going to give her address? Are you nuts?
I wasn't going to say that, Jay.
Oh, my God. Amina. I got you, Amina. I got you protected.
Thank
her.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was getting worried.
I know. It's like she has her zip code or something, right?
Yeah.
So now, you know, with everything that's been going on in Australia, how do you think these animals are, what do you think they're thinking, Amina? And how are they handling all this?
Well, you just want to start out this with me crying, right?
I know.
That is so good for ratings. Yes, do that. That's really good for ratings.
Well, you can't turn on the TV and not think about it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, no, you can't. And sadly, I have to address it on my social media constantly because I need people to understand that we're not just talking about Australia. We're not just talking about the ice melting. We're not just talking about the oceans dying and the whales choking to death on plastic. We're not just talking about the death of the honeybee. We're talking about the death of us.
That's pretty heavy right there. Do you know, with, you know, getting back to this in all serious notes, it is a sad situation what's happening over there. But now, will these animals, will they just come back in another life form somewhere else?
Well, I'm gonna leave that to a better expert, and for me, you know, that would be God and all that type of stuff. I'm not gonna second guess that. We all have free will, and I would like to say, yes, of course, we would like to see that. But what I want people to walk away with is the seriousness of today. The seriousness of their decision to use Roundup, their decision to use Lysol, actually, their decision to. This list could go on. Our choices are killing the planet, and when our choices are killing our own life, because we have a hunger for wood and bigger houses and larger factories and all that type of stuff. So we need to live symbiotically. We need to live in a partnership. And that can't happen until we decide that we're not kings and that every life matters. Every life.
Do you think we will ever get to that point?
Wow. Again, big God question. I am way underqualified to voice that opinion because it would be opinion. And I'd rather stick to what I know and my gift is in communication. My gift is in enlightening people to the conversation that they're not understanding. Because what God gave me was the ability to hear what nobody hears. I get a lot of dead plants in my life because it extends to the greenery, extends to the trees I can feel and the plants because my heart and my life has been there. But it's also for me, I hear conversation. I am very lucky. It doesn't matter where we live. I'm lucky to have clients all over the world for that reason. It doesn't matter if they're alive or past. An animal has a message and or the person needs closure. That is the gift I'm going to stick with and stay in my lane because that's where people really want to have that closure on what happened when they died or what did I do wrong or how do I train better. There's so much out there to know and for us to do better, but if you don't understand animals, if you don't understand your fellow neighbor, if you don't understand how the grass grows, if I can be so glib, it will die. It will die and it won't live a successful life. Pets have become a huge part of our day-to-day life. So many of us are choosing them over having children, getting married. They're our family.
Isn't that the truth?
That doesn't mean we can't do it wrong.
I'm going to hold that thought. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Everybody, hang tight.
Absolutely.
Get excellent insight and spiritually motivating teachers with Frank DeVersa, the number one international best-selling author, Spiritually Raw in the 21st Century. Frank DeVersa was an agnostic for 20 years and has been on a spiritual journey ever since incurring a serious illness in 1997. The illness inspired him to renew his faith in God and view spirituality and life in a more enlightened way. Spirituality in the 21st century will expand one's perspective and horizons to cultivate positive human qualities such as tolerance, generosity, and love. To get your copy of Spirituality in the 21st Century by Frank DeVersa, go to www.frankdeversa.org. That's www.frankdeversa.org.
Plotsky is an internationally sought-out psychic reader, psychic medium, and pet communicator. Clients from around the globe describe the experience as insightful, uplifting, extremely powerful, and very accurate. With 25 years' experience in tarot cards and numerology, her insight will reveal many things that will transform your life. Can't visit her in person? No problem. She's available on Skype. Non-believers and skeptics are always welcome. One session with Shira will change your life. Go to shirasplace.com.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much. We are here with Amina Ramazani and motivational speaker and pet psychic. Amina, I want to get, before we went to break, you were talking about how you've had this God-given gift to be able to talk to the flowers and plants. What I can get the vibe there as far as the animal, like how people could communicate with animals. I really do get that. How exactly do you do it with the flowers and plants?
A lot more complicated. There's the language is subjective to the species, is if that's an appropriate word, that we're talking to, and everything communicates differently. For me, I see the change in their coloring. I see the change in their need for water, food, dirt, whatever. I don't know how to explain it except for
you're like a plant doctor.
I didn't realize I could see all these things until you talk to a non-plant person.
So you're like a plant doctor.
It's one of the gifts I have, but my focus is truly on pets and natural things. But that's why I know so much about what the honeybees are going through and what the monarch butterflies are going through, because we have decimated their food source in the plant world.
So what are the bees saying? What do the bees want us to know?
Stop using chemicals.
What's that?
Literally decimating them, their life, which means everything we eat, everything can be traced back to a honeybee.
That is amazing.
And if you think about it, girls, ladies, they're all girls. The boys live 6 weeks. They do their thing. Then they're gone. So all those worker bees are female. And it is a lot of work. They can fly 5 miles from their hive and go back every night. It's a lot of work. And if I could give everybody one tip, the safest time to be around a honeybee, when they're swarming.
That's the safest time?
That's the safest one. And most people think that's the most dangerous because it freaks them out, all that humming. They are protecting the queen. And they're moving to a new hive because she has produced enough babies to leave that hive behind. And they're going to a new place. They've already picked it. they already know where they're going, but she has to rest. You know, everybody has to rest along the way, hence why a swarm stops and sticks to a building or sticks to a pole. Then they rest and they move on. But they already know where they're going, but they're busy protecting their queen and moving on. If everybody would just ignore them, they would just keep going to where they're on their way to.
I guess that's where this the saying busy bee comes from. So, right? Yeah. Do animals understand or feel time?
Yes. Time is not what we feel. We see clocks. We put it in a quantum state of 12 hours, 24 hours, all that. Animals are in time of, let me put it in people terms.
Okay.
Time as in sunset to sunrise. This is time. Okay, today we're going to eat. We're going to go get the grass. I'm a goat. I'm a sheep. You know, I'm going to go eat the grass. I'm the cow. I'm the horse. Whatever their job is or whatever their life is like. Time is sunset to sunrise, and then they do it again and again and again. But they're very matter of fact about life and death. They're very matter of fact about many, many things. What mostly gets in the way is when you have a domesticated animal, they will take on personality traits and or they're as personal as we are. That's why getting the right pet is so essential, because we all know when we got the wrong one, it's like fighting with somebody who's your polar opposite, like when we marry the wrong person.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
Like I get asked a lot, I want to adopt this pet. Is this the right one for me? And that is a really important pre-question, but also it's the after question of what are they going through and why are they driving me crazy and what are they talking about? I don't know what they're saying. I'm the translator. I'm really, really lucky to be there to say, you know what? Past trauma has created this. I'm really fortunate to work with people who adopt lost, stolen, injured, three-legged, whatever, blind, old animals, and helping them with that conversation of understanding who they're dealing with makes you kind, makes you take a breath and say, wait a minute, animals don't do revenge. They don't poop on the floor because they know it's going to tick you off. They don't jump on the counters because they're bored. There's a reason why animals do what they do. And when we can talk about, I talk about this a lot, yesterday reading for a client who had horses. And a horse moving their skin doesn't just move the fly off. Twisting an ear for a dog, cat, or a horse, any of them, it's a conversation in the herd. It's a conversation. They just wonder why you can't understand it.
That is so interesting.
Because they're speaking in their language.
Wow. So, when we leave the house, do they know the difference if we've been gone an hour or a day or an entire week?
Oh, yeah. They know how to mark time. They can see the sunrise and sunset and all that. And if anybody who goes, like, let's say for 8 to 5, you leave at 8 every morning, you come back at 5 every night, and they are so happy to see you. And now you show up at noon one day, and they're like, what are you doing here? You change the schedule. And if you do it often enough, they go, great, is this one of those days or that day? And they're thrilled to see you. But they are very in the moment. Animals don't hold grudges. Now, have they had trauma? Can they be traumatized? Can they be afraid of things? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we need to let go of the human emotions that we keep putting on animals. Though they hate me because blah, 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 blah. It could be as simple as they don't like your shampoo because the smell is so strong it hurts their nose.
Wow. But
remember, a dog or a cat can smell things from miles away, much less shampoo that is so strong to them, and you think it smells lovely. It could be that simple. It could be that simple.
Isn't that
they
amazing?
Know. Ask any animal owner. They know when you're going to have a heart attack. They know
yes.
when you have cancer. They know when you're going to have
a
stroke.
That's so true, yeah.
And if you don't pay attention, I tell every woman on the planet, if you have a dog, a cat, or anybody starts pestering you, bumping you in the breast, pestering you in an arm, trying to pull you down to the ground, listen, you're either going to have a stroke and they want you down on the ground so you don't hurt yourself,
Wow.
Or you need to go to the doctor and have that x-ray somebody, because there's a message. If they're pestering you so much about something, pay attention. They love you and they want to see you succeed, but they can smell it. And that's why they make great drug dogs, great cancer dogs, great support animals. They know when somebody's going to have an epileptic seizure. Minutes.
You know, when we have two dogs, and my mom and dad had one dog, and they were always together, the three of them. And my dad was in hospice. He was living in the house. He was in hospice. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the three dogs are scratching at my dad's bed, which was really odd because they never did that. And they all three of them at the same time wanted to get on his bed. And I thought, geez, that's odd. And I picked him up and I put all three of them on his bed, and all three of them laid at his feet. And within 2 minutes, the hospice nurse turned around and said, your father just stopped breathing.
And they knew.
They absolutely wanted to be there and comfort
him in his transition.
It was truly extraordinary.
And it's breathtaking to see, and I can feel that you understand the love that was expressed at his passing. They don't see passing as the tragedy that we do. And a lot of spiritual people, especially everybody that, you know, you have on your channel, is going to understand it's not so scary. It's just another place. Just think, I'm going to Hawaii for the rest of my life, or I'm going to Europe, or whatever's your dream. You know, I'm going to the Grand Canyon or whatever. It's just another place, and our time with our family and friends will be different. Animals understand this. It's just another plane. It's just another place that we're going to be going.
Wow.
So they understand when it's passing.
How can people get a hold of you that, you know, have questions? They want an animal reading. They want to learn more about their own animal.
I do this internationally, because my gift works through the spirit of your relationship. So it doesn't matter if they're alive or dead. I have just picked up a client in Bulgaria. I have Europe. I have the whole United States, because it's your conversation. It's your conversation. And you and I talk from anywhere, and, you invite the pet in to speak with me, and vice versa.
That's very cool. That is very, very cool. All right. So tell us a little bit, what would you like to love and leave us, our audience, with here today?
Please love them for every moment you have. And if you have any problems, go to the right specialist. That's the vet, the trainer, a psychic, whatever it is, get the help you need, because they deserve all the love that you have the ability to give. I'm a phone call and an email away.
Right on.
And
right
so
on.
Are so many others.
And give us your website again. Let's get it back in.
Worlds.us.
All right, everybody.
So wait, say that one more time, because I missed the very beginning. I want to make sure everybody got it.
Bridgingworlds.us.
All right, right
you
on.
Get the same, right?
Bridging Worlds.
That's me.
What a great gift. What a great gift. And bless you on that. Amina Ramazani, everybody. We are going to take a word from our sponsor, and we will be right back with our next guest. Thank you very much.
Make 2020 an incredible year. Live the life you desire in your relationships, your career, your financial freedom, your health. It's all possible. Shari Hobson, an internationally known psychic counselor with over 20 years of experience as a karma and past life analyst, helps you move your dreams into reality. Her energy work in clearing and releasing blocks is being recognized by spiritual leaders and doctors from around the world. Clear your path to your purpose, passion, and potential. Book your session today at SherryHobson.com. That's SherryHobson.com. To be successful online, you have to have a predictable system that takes the visitor from just being a visitor to a buyer. Do you need more leads, customers, and sales? If your books and services are not selling and your business is not growing, then you need a website audit to get to the root of the issue. Get a free 20-point website and social media audit report today.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Excuse me. Thank you very much.
I was sleeping on the job.
It was all right. So that was great. I, you know.
There was one question I have to have her back on because I have to find out the answer. I want to know what her thoughts were on cloning animals, so we got to bring her back.
All right, we'll bring her back. Yeah,
yeah, I want to find that out, her feelings on that. Next up, we have Bill Simpson. He is a consummate professional. He's an author, speaker, podcaster, pastor, and teacher. He's been a missionary in West Africa and a pastor for two congregations. These experiences, coupled with his seminary training and years in the marketplace, have led him to his discovery of knowing the amazing promise Jesus made and said that if we remain in him and his words remain in us, we can ask for whatever we want and we will receive it. He's the author of How to Ask God for What He Wants to Give You. And What Men Crave. Spoiler alert, it's not money, sex, or power.
All right, let's bring Bill onto the show. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm great, Jay. How are you doing?
Good. Well, I'm not sure yet because April gave me a spoiler alert. It's not money or sex or power.
All right. So yeah, that one kind of threw you, didn't it?
No. So you've been a missionary in West Africa, right? And a pastor for two congregations. That's great, man. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, that was crazy. So I was an engineer from NC State University and did that for several years. After college and getting married is when I began a relationship with Christ. And after 8 or 9 years, my wife and I realized that he was leading us to sell our successful business and our home, to go to seminary, to prepare for being missionaries somewhere overseas. We didn't know where, but during the course of our my missionary studies, we realized he was leading us to West Africa. Senegal was the country. So it's a predominantly 98% Muslim country, and we were going there to teach the Bible.
How did you handle that? That's like extreme. One life to complete other life.
Yeah, most people thought we were crazy, and I did at times. But it's one of those things where, April, you just know that if God's calling you to do something so out of the norm like that, you just know that's what you're supposed to do. And so it didn't seem as crazy as everybody else kind of thought it was. And before I sensed that calling, that leading from God, I would have thought the same thing about other people who were doing that. But he just made it abundantly clear. And there were affirmations along the way and confirmations and but yeah, it was a great experience. Our kids were 4 and 7 when we left, and we actually thought we were going to be there for the rest of our careers. But after 6 years, he directed us back to the States, and so that's when I began pastoring my first church.
Congrats. What are flare prayers and text praying all about? How's that work?
Yeah, that works. Well, I got to the point probably 5 or 6 years into following Jesus, and was having a daily devotional in the church. We often call it a quiet time, and had gone through a program where it was teaching us how to memorize scripture and have more prayer. And I was having an hour a day of before going to work, and this is when I owned my own engineering business, of reading the scriptures and praying. But I realized that I was not thinking any more about God's word or his principles during the course of my day. I was just closing deals, making money. And so after going to seminary, I began to take on a whole new understanding of the scriptures and realize that what God was calling us to is this relationship with him throughout the day, that we have these ongoing conversations. So throughout the scriptures, you know, we're admonished to pray to God continually, seek his face always. And so I began to go try to figure out what in the world is that? And I came up with this analogy of flare prayer. So in the midst of my driving down the street and I want to run over somebody or flick them off, and I've done that before as a pastor, but we won't talk about that. But when get so angry with someone or want to return a vicious email or respond to someone who breaks in line in the grocery store, in the heat of that moment, to have a flare prayer to God, God, help me right now. God, give me wisdom. God, strengthen me. Cool my jets down so I can act in a way that's honorable to you. Or can you refer to it as a text prayer? Just quick you know, communications with God throughout the day. And I actually have God as a contact in my phone.
That is a great idea. Actually, put that in your phone. I love that idea.
Put God as a contact
in your
phone?
Yeah, I'm going to start texting God. That's a great idea.
I do.
Yeah, I love that idea.
What do you do? Like, when you text him, what do you say? Be right there?
LOL? Help.
So, hey, Siri, text Heavenly Father. And she'll say, okay, what do you want to say? I say, Father, please strengthen me right now and give me the patience that I need with this situation. Or with this person that's driving me crazy.
Do you get
that's one of the best, quickest ideas I've ever heard.
Do you get a text response back?
That's a great question, Jay. I do not.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though? You never know. One day you just might.
Well, okay. So, this is really good. And then, you know, this is, I guess this is the old age kind of thing, like there, the mystery is it is like, you know, do you ever feel like you're, And I really like where you're going with this, but do you ever feel like you're in just a really one-sided relationship here where you're doing the text back, but you're not getting any responses back?
Yeah, sure. There are times like that. Absolutely. But that's what faith is, right? The assurance of things hoped for. When we don't see him answering, but I know he's in it. That goes back to this amazing promise, and April mentioned that. That on that Thursday night before Jesus was crucified, he said this, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That's amazing, right?
It is.
So if we ask anything in...
How do we actually ask? Give us the specifics. How do we actually do this?
Give us a script.
Exactly.
And that was my question for years is, Jesus, what in the ding-dong deal are you talking about there? Because I know that's not whatever I want, obviously. And in part of my seminary studies, I began to realize, actually, the president of our seminary, who now lives in the presence of Jesus, but the late Robertson McQuilkin, kept saying, context is king, context is king. So what he meant was, and what he pounded was, you have to understand the scriptures in the context of what they're in. So this amazing promise comes in the context of Jesus talking to the 11 disciples after Judas has already left to do his dastardly deed, talking to those 11 on that Thursday night, right, just before the cross. And he spends some time with them after initiating the Lord's Supper and talking to them about this, and that's where he gave them this promise. And then he said, let's go. And so they're heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, where obviously he had taken them numerous times because Judas knew that's where he would be. And he must have probably walked by a vineyard, and then he gives us this example of the vine and the branch, right? And he says that, you know, the only way that the branch is going to produce delicious grapes is if it stays connected to the vine. And then he said, if you abide in me or remain in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
Amen.
And then, how about that? And then, doggone it, he said it two more times that night. If you ask in my name. So he defined what in my name was with this illustration by simply our relationship with him. That if to abide in Jesus means to stay with him or remain in him, it means that Jesus really is the master of your life, that he is the one who you worship and serve, and to remain in him means that his words are staying in your heart and in your head.
What do you say to what happens if you're Jewish or Muslim, and what do you say to them?
Well, about what?
About what they believe, you know, whether they, if they don't believe that that's the way they go or they have their own faith, is it all like this one path that goes directly to heaven, or this is the only path?
I would take them strictly to Jesus and what Jesus said, you know, and Jesus did say.
And they will take what they want and they will throw the rest away?
Exactly. But Muslims are encouraged through the Quran to learn everything that the prophets said and taught. And so that was my job when I was in a Muslim country, to teach them what the prophet Jesus said and taught.
So did you convert a lot of people?
No, I didn't convert anybody. Sorry, April, I didn't mean to make you feel bad about that question. But
No. I was just curious.
Yeah, we did.
I was wondering if we saw a lot of turnover.
Nobody feels bad here, man. It's all good.
Okay. We did see the Father draw some people to faith in Christ, and that was exciting. But in that, and in my journey then, I began to think, okay, Jesus gave us this pattern of prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, right? Came from the first one, Sermon on the Mount, the first time he taught it in Matthew 5. But then about a year later, he taught it, and we have it recorded in Luke 11. But it's a shorter version, and I like shorter versions. As a matter of fact, when I was in college, Cliff was my favorite author and writer. Remember he, those great notes that he wrote?
Cliff Notes, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, love them. So anyway, I like this shorter version in Luke 11. And Jesus had spent another one of his significant times in prayer. And when he returns back to his disciples, they said, hey, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus taught them, and he said, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. That was it. Notice he didn't close in Jesus' name, in my name, anything like that. So you look at that and go, well, that obviously can't be the words. He didn't mean that. He just came back from maybe an hour or two. Sometimes he would pray all night long. So he spent lots of time praying to his Father. And now his disciples are asking him, and he gives them a pattern. So this is an outline of praying. So when you have a personal time where you want to communicate with God and set aside some time to really think about it, he said, here's the order. So first, our Father, you think about who you're talking to, and you can do that for a long time. Just thank him for who he is, for what he's done for you, for recognizing his attributes. But then the first request in that prayer outline that Jesus gives us, which we call the Lord's Prayer, he says, your kingdom come. Now, in all my years of pastoring and leading home groups and small groups and all that, I don't ever hear people pray, your kingdom come. I always hear people pray, they skip to the second request. The third part of that prayer is our needs. Give us each day our daily bread, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we pray about. Anytime we gather, right, Jay, we pray for, you know, Aunt Martha's bunion or Uncle Herb's cancer or whatever it is, or somebody's lack of money. We rarely ask for your kingdom to come because we don't know what that means.
So speaking of what that means, I don't know what this means. What do men crave that's not money, sex, or power?
I can't get to that yet, Jay.
I got 3 minutes.
All right.
I'm getting the evil eye from the producer here.
Are you? They crave respect and admiration and honor, just like God does.
Respect, because we're created His image. Respect, admiration. That's great. I had to get that in before.
I can
before
see
the
why
show.
Bill is so successful because he has such a calming, methodical. I'm like,
Did you put money in the collection plate?
I will
plate?
Put money in your collection plate any day of the week.
Thank you, April.
I would go to your sermon.
And you wouldn't ask for change back?
Absolutely not.
No? All right.
I'd even give him a bonus.
Oh, would you really? Okay, yeah. Everybody, you heard that.
And you know what? He's... you do it in a very entertaining way. You're not, you know, no offense. Most people, a lot of them, are dry. But you have such a great speaking way about you, and it's just so nice.
He's not like, you're not like, you, what is it, pastory?
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean? He's not like a pastor.
He's like a regular guy.
Yeah, he's like a regular guy.
Yeah, it's really nice. Just wanting to tell everybody the message.
Yeah, I grew up in church and was bored to death by those kinds of people.
No wonder.
So, yeah.
What about karma? Do you believe in it?
Some
version of it? Maybe call it something different, but do you believe in the concept of it?
I believe, Jay, that every sin has consequences. And that God rewards our good deeds. He says he's created us in Christ to do good things. That's what gives him glory. So it's not what comes back to me when I do something, you know, I'm kind to someone or loving to someone. It's that gives God glory. That makes him smile. And that's what I want to do.
Why does God allow so much negativity and evil to exist in our world?
Because he created people.
Oh.
You know, he relented of that long before the ark and Noah and all that. He actually says in Genesis, I wish I'd never created them. They're evil, and all they think about is evil.
That sucks.
That's heavy.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
that
heavy.
Does suck. Yeah. So are we like, you know, just deal with it? So kind of like the this the Science Project stepchildren kind of thing out there?
Well, our world is broken, our hearts are broken, and that's why Jesus said to Nick at Night, the only way you can become a member of my kingdom is to be born again, which really translated is born from above, to have the Spirit come in and revolutionize your heart and give you a whole new way of thinking.
Oh, that is such a nicer way to say that. That makes a lot more sense.
You're getting all sorts of epiphanies today.
Well, you know why? Because he's making things more clear.
It's like the second one you got.
Well, I know,
like 5 minutes.
Which is great because it's a lot of times people want to jam stuff down your throat. It's one way or the only way, but you have a way of saying things that make me right now think of it in a very different way. And it's really nice. It's like not... What's that word? Not so...
Can we get an amen? Do we got one there?
It's not so strict. It's like, it makes you realize, you know what? Okay, he's looking at it. He just gave me a different analogy of it. Let's put it that way.
All right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad Jesus said, I want you, when he was talking to his disciples that Thursday night, he said, I want you to have the same kind of joy that I have by remaining in me, and asking the Father the same kinds of things that I would ask. And so that praying in his name or praying according to the words of Christ is simply to use the prayers that are in the scriptures. In Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, Philippians 1, we have these amazing prayers the Apostle Paul prayed for those churches through the Spirit of Christ speaking through him. And so those are the flare prayers. Those are the text prayers where we're asking for wisdom. We're asking for power. We're asking for God to help us love more fully like he did. Those are the ways we know he will answer those prayers. And so that's what Jesus talked about when we pray in complete alignment with his words and his will.
All right, my friend, that is very good stuff there. Okay, so listen, getting down to the end of the show here, what would you like to love and leave our audience with, and where can they find out more about you, Bill Simpson?
Well, thank you. I love helping people have an authentic and vibrant relationship with God. You can go to my website, billsimpson.org, and see some of the resources there, books, podcasts, blogs, and yeah, or just go to Amazon. My books are on Amazon. You can just get on Amazon and look up Bill Simpson, and you'll see my books plus books, I think, about Bart Simpson and other Simpsons. But nevertheless, mine are in there as well.
Just make sure you buy Bill Simpson's books, everybody. All right, Bill, thanks for being on the show, brother. It's really great to have you on. Thank you.
Jay, April, appreciate you guys.
Likewise. Definitely.
And
don't forget, everybody, Brian Arnold, check him out, and Amina Ramazani. So don't forget to check out our great guest today. I hope you enjoyed it, because we most certainly did on this end.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Look up and I see stars out tonight. Look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear the people cry. Look up and I wonder why. Don't you want to know what is? Do we really exist? Is life but a flame? A star burning out. And I see things have changed for me. I look up and I feel the ceiling has rearranged. Look up and I hear
just don't know why. Have we lost our way? Will we be here another day? Are these the end of days? Will we be here to mend our ways? And I see stars came out for me. Will they move tonight and prove that we are right? Life is everywhere, just expand your mind and care. To blame awaken from this sleep, all the secrets to unfold.